The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier, too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Europe for this Wednesday, the 10th of May in London. Coming up today...
10% pay rises, soaring salaries cause a major headache for the Bank of England.
Losing altitude, Tony Blair tells Bloomberg the city risks losing its status as a high flyer.
Running out of headroom, Biden and McCarthy dash hopes of a deal as the debt ceiling looms even larger.
In for a penny, down a pound. Panic at the M&A trial and trust goes to Taiwan. Those are the stories we're looking at in today's papers. I'm James Wilcock.
Plus, a jury finds Donald Trump sexually abused and defamed a columnist, awarding her $5 million in damages.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe. The business news you need to start your day in just one 15-minute podcast. On Apple, Spotify, the Bloomberg Business app, and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning, I'm Stephen Carroll.
And I'm Caroline Hepke. Here are the stories that we're following today.
New data here in the UK shows that wages soared by 10% for those who changed jobs in the last year. Bloomberg's Chris Pitt has the details.
The data from Reed Recruitment's millions of job advertisements points to a red-hot labour market. Bloomberg analysis suggests many middle-income families have secured a real-term pay rise well above the national average wage increase. This will be worrying reading for the Bank of England, who are anxious to prevent higher prices translating into spiralling wages. In London, Christopher Pitt, Bloomberg Daybreak Europe.
Former Prime Minister Tony Blair has urged the British government to secure a deal on financial services equivalence with the European Union. Speaking to Bloomberg's UK correspondent Lizzie Burden, Blair warned that the city is in danger of losing its lead over rivals if a deal can't be done.
We're in a position where if we're not careful, we're going to lose altitude, even with the City of London, which is all... And I've always said to people, no matter how much people complain about the financial service sector, it's a major part of our economy. We've got to keep it strong. We've got to keep it preeminent.
The warning from Tony Blair comes after Jan de Plessis, the chairman of the Financial Reporting Council, told Bloomberg that London has been declining as a financial capital for years.
Across the channel, one of the city's main rivals has had another boost. Bank of America says it plans to keep increasing its presence in Paris. That's even after an eightfold increase in staffing over the past 4 years. Speaking at Bloomberg's Future of Finance event, Vanessa Holtz, who runs Bank of America's operations across Europe, said the French capital has a lot to offer.
It is a very important financial system. It has a lot of ecosystem. It's a very diverse in terms of financial services that come into play in Paris. And I think what is important is we continue to see investments in Paris and investors growing there.
That view from Bank of America's Vanessa Holtz has been reinforced by figures recently from the European Banking Authority. Data published in January show the number of investment bankers and traders in France earning more than 1 million euros is almost 80% higher than it was in 2017.
Some of Wall Street's most experienced traders are warning of unthinkable long-term implications of a US debt default. In a letter to the Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, current and former executives at Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan and elsewhere said that the limit should be permanently repealed. But their warning seems to have had little cut through. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy said that no progress was made on a deal during an hour-long meeting with President Joe Biden.
Everybody in this meeting reiterated the positions they were at. I didn't see any new movement. The president said the staff should get back together, but I was very clear with the president. We have now just 2 weeks to go. The staff will get together and we'll get back together, the principals, on Friday.
McCarthy faces pressure from conservatives to take a hard line in the debt limit talks, while Biden is urging for it to be raised without conditions.
A New York jury has found Donald Trump liable for sexually assaulting and defaming writer E. Jean Carroll. The court ordered the former president to pay $5 million in damages after she accused him of raping her in the 1990s and defaming her by calling her a liar when she wrote about it. Richard Painter was a White House ethics lawyer under George W. Bush.
There is no exception for presidents or former presidents. No one is above the law. Donald Trump has been found liable. He can appeal and try to evade this verdict. I think his chances are quite slim.
Richard Painter's assessment comes as Trump faces a string of cases that threaten to erupt during next year's presidential campaign. Responding to the verdict, the former president called it a political hit job.
And just finally, some earnings this morning. Crédit Agricole's investment bank posted a record performance in the first quarter as the French lender's debt traders powered a surge in revenue. Underlying revenue from fixed income, commodities and currencies jumped by 42% in the first 3 months of the year, beating larger rivals in a difficult trading period. The performance contributed to record revenue at the firm's corporate and investment bank, but the French bank warned that it may not be able to repeat the same trading performance in the current quarter.
So those are our top stories on the programme this morning. Carolyn, a story that caught my eye this morning, as someone who loves sleeping, was very excited by this idea. This seems quite sensible. Air New Zealand is going to offer sleep pods to people on their long-haul flights, so Auckland to New York or Auckland to Chicago, where you'll be able to book a bed for 4 hours during the flight and will cost you between 400 and 600 New Zealand dollars. So that's around $100 an hour for that period.
You're clocking up your sleep in dollars per minute.
I'm always clocking up my sleep, Caroline. But look, this is not a bad idea, I think, because it's going to be available to people who are in economy. So you'll be in your seat. You'll only be allowed to have it for 4 hours to be able to get out of your seat.
Yeah, my only reaction to that was, I mean, look at a sleep pod, a napping pod or whatever it is. I think it's great, but for only 4 hours, I mean, it's an awfully long flight, and those flights are going to begin quite soon. In fact, I was speaking to a friend who's going to be on one of those flights going to Houston. It's a long way.
Yeah, it certainly is, and something that I think that the idea of having space to rest is not a bad one as well. We'll also have noticed that last night was the start of the Eurovision events.
Oh, did you notice
Liverpool.
That, Stephen Carroll?
I did, yes, exactly.
I think you're a fan.
Look, it's the first of three. So the first semi-final was last night. Second semi-final is on Thursday and the big final, of course, on Saturday as well. But a chance to get a look at everything that has been worked for to get preparations ready for Liverpool. Big spectacle for the city.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's being hosted in the UK. Fascinating. Good stuff. Let's also get some more detail, though, on the recruitment company Reed, which has its latest jobs report out in collaboration with Bloomberg. People switching jobs in the past year here in England got a 10% pay bump. But it was cities outside of the southeast where salaries rose the fastest. Joining us now is Bloomberg reporter Lucy White, who's been delving into the data from Reed, one of the biggest recruitment websites in England. Lucy, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. A 10% pay rise. Good morning. That is a big number.
It is, exactly. I mean, you know, considering that we've seen, you know, inflation around 10% for the last several months, and median salaries across the whole economy, according to the Office for National Statistics, only around 6%. A lot of people have been seeing real pay cuts. But as you said, this is just looking at salaries on job postings. So this will only affect people who've actually moved jobs. But it suggests that a lot of people have actually seen their wages increase almost in line with inflation. And some, indeed, if this is the median number, some have seen more.
Lucy, how does this break down geographically? Is it a sign, perhaps, that levelling up is working?
It's interesting because, as you said, you know, we've seen a lot of the biggest pay rises come in some slightly unexpected places. So salaries attached to job adverts are still largest in the big cities, you know, the likes of London, Manchester, Cambridge. In other sort of smaller, neglected towns, you know, the likes of York, Gateshead, Norwich, Birmingham, they're as much as a third smaller. But it's in some of these areas outside of London where they're rising fastest. So Blackpool, Huddersfield and Birkenhead.
The Bank of England push for pay restraint has clearly fallen on deaf ears, has it?
Well, obviously, yes. We had Andrew Bailey last year urging pay restraints, and we had Hugh Pill last month saying that workers just needed to accept that they are poorer. So, I mean, obviously, you know, it's been really hard for businesses trying to recruit over the last year. And, you know, they've had very little available to them other than to offer higher salaries and to offer, you know, increased benefits. So, you know, perhaps it's fallen on deaf ears, or perhaps there just weren't really any other options.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's an interesting point. I wonder, when we think about sectors in this, Lucy, what in the data tells us about the sectors where the biggest pay rises were available?
Well, as usual, banking and finance are doing very well. You know, obviously, a lot of those jobs are concentrated in London. But also, you know, jobs in the strategy and consulting sector, you know, perhaps as we've seen more businesses struggling, that's that, you know, there's really been a lot of demand for consultancy work. And actually the energy sector as well, salaries are rising particularly fast in the energy sector. I mean, obviously we've seen, you know, a lot of action in the energy sector, and we're seeing a lot of focus now on greening the energy sector. IT jobs have also been offering very high salaries typically. You know, this is stuff like, software developers, software engineers. They may not be rising as fast, but James Reid, the chief executive of Reid Recruitment, he's saying that this really demonstrates the digitalization of the economy that's coming. And he says, you know, it emphasizes the need for boosting tech education in some perhaps more deprived areas, you know, around the country, where we can really sort of push that levelling up agenda.
Lucy, that's really interesting. Thank you so much for being with us. Well, speaking of Reid CEO, James Reid, he says that, you know, this is all evidence that the UK needs to future-proof the economy. Lucy, though, thank you so much for your time this morning, and also for delving into that really interesting data. I mean, it's fascinating to get that much information from the website and be able to parse it for what it means for the UK economy. Bloomberg reporter Lucy White.
Up next, in for a penny, down a pound, panic at the M&A trial, and Truss goes to Taiwan.
The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's STIFEL.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier, too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
The Paper Review on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe. The news you need to know from today's papers.
Bloomberg's James Walcock joins us now for a look through the newspapers, starting with The Telegraph. Delighted with their headline, it would seem. analysts admit that they were wrong about UK economy as pound surges. You can sort of see the delight.
Hey, Caroline, did you know that The Telegraph thinks we're all being really harsh on the UK economy and business? And so they are very pleased to report that the head of the European Foreign Exchange Strategy at Citi, Vasileios Gnosakis, says that predictions of a material correction in house prices and a collapse in consumption has simply not come to pass. And they tore up their prediction that the pound would go to parity against the dollar. They're now looking at, say, 1.3 in the next year. And the pound is currently at the moment trading at a one-year high. It is a major turnaround. I will introduce a note of scepticism. For all the Telegraph points to notes from Goldman, points to NatWest, who are all changing their perspectives, I look to John Stepek, the Bloomberg writer of the newsletter, and Money Distilled. I mean, I get all my good thoughts from John, but he points out, and he pointed out last week, this was always on the cards because the same risks that were impacting the UK economy last year are now tailwinds now. The April inflation figure is predicted to fall to as low as 7%. So although inflation looks stubbornly high this month, once the energy prices factor out, it will be quite similar to most European figures. And then at that point, wages will start to matter more, which is exactly what Lucy White was just on to talk about. So there's, and I also look at Bloomberg Economics' Dan Hansen, who says that actually, although policymakers were wrong and the economy as a whole is doing better than thought, and he's talking about the BOE there, the big problems here is it's not all rosy outlooks. Strikes and the coronation could be a far bigger hit to GDP than current forecast predicts, so it's not all sort of sunlit uplands on the horizon just
no,
yet.
No, listen, I do think that the Sterling story is remarkable. I think it is worth pointing out. And yet also, Vasileios, obviously, who is a regular guest on Bloomberg Radio and TV and writes, you know, the Inside G10 pieces for on the Bloomberg Terminal, you know, he has many views and things do move swiftly. But yes, so the Telegraph highlighting this one particular incident.
And briefly, just like we compare it to pre-Brexit, obviously, the you can be as optimistic on the pound as you like, but it's still, I think, 0.25 lower than where it was back in 2015, 2014.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The last 5 years have been very tough. Yeah.
Let's go to the FT next, James, writing about the brewing court showdown over the Activision Blizzard deal being blocked.
So Lord David Panic is a celebrity in the legal field. Let me just go through very briefly, Stephen, some of his recent cases. He defended Boris Johnson in the Partygate probe. He was also seen as he's worked for Queen Elizabeth II. He, during the big Gina Miller Brexit victories, he fought for Gina Miller's case. Basically, whenever there is a large trial, Lord Panic is often somewhere in the region. So it says quite something that Activision Blizzard have hired him to take the case to the government over blocking the deal with Microsoft. And the FT have reported to say, not only does it say something about that, it says something about how seriously the companies are taking it, about what the UK CMA's ruling might have on global implications for the company. So it is one to keep an eye on. And as this court case gets going, it shows that it will be one to keep an eye on, because Lord Panic is famously very good at the dispatch box in court.
Yes. The Times, Liz Truss going to Taiwan.
Yes, she will become the most prominent British politician to travel to Taiwan in decades, which is always a move that was liked to antagonise Beijing. Now, famous facts about Liz Truss. If you had to guess, Caroline, Stephen, who was the last most notable prime minister to visit Taiwan?
That is a history test.
And as a hint, it is a prime minister that Liz Truss always seeks to emulate.
Oh, Margaret Thatcher.
Margaret Thatcher.
Is it that long ago?
In 1992 and 1996. And so it's, but where this becomes an interesting political story is this comes after Ian Duncan-Smith yesterday, as a Tory party grandee in his own right, called out China. This isn't just a summer holiday for Liz. She is also set to give a speech in Taipei where she's going to show solidarity. This is full on freelancing. And I imagine this will make her a lightning rod for criticism against Rishi Sunak's policy. Notably, a lot of Tory MPs, it turns out, are increasingly worried about the Chinese Vice President Han Jiang, who came to the coronation. He, what it turns out, was in charge of the crackdown on Hong Kong and Hong Kong's democracy. So there's an increasing story now of UK politicians who are anti-Sunak or upset at the current direction of the party are coming onto the sort of China hawkish stance as a way of expressing their discontent.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, your morning brief on the stories making news from London to Wall Street and beyond.
Look for us on your podcast feed every morning on Apple, Spotify and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You can also listen live each morning on London DAB Radio, the Bloomberg Business app and Bloomberg.com.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130. I'm Caroline Hepke.
And I'm Stephen Carroll. Join us again tomorrow morning for all the news you need to start your day, right here on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.